good here.
Okay. Hello, yeah. Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff in Mac. I'm sorry for the late posting of the show from last week. I didn't post it until this morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I haven't got an excuse. Well, I have got an excuse. I've got an excuse, which is work and the fact that I've actually employed someone now, I've never employed him before, and I'm scared shitless. So there you go. That's what's consumed my week, if you like. Joining me... I've never been an employer before, and I'm not sure I'm enjoying it at the minute. Although the Jake is lovely. He's a lovely bloke. Joining me to discuss the week in Mac. What a team. It's like the A-team. Who's Murdoch?
Probably me.
Well, Chuck is... Chuck's going to be George Pappard.
I think by default, I get to be Mr. T.
With...
I like just because it works with my name, not because.
Hey, terms turn.
But are you not aware of the subtle fact of the fact that you're not black and you haven't got any hair?
I don't know why I have to bring race into this.
Oh, okay. I shouldn't have brought race into it. I do apologize. start us off, Doc Rock. How you doing, mate?
Aloha. Good, man.
How's it going on? How's the finger?
Just busy. Busy.
The finger's been busy, that's good.
The finger's busy. Doing what?
No, don't answer that. I don't want to bleep.
What?
I said, how's the finger? And you said it's been busy. I'm like, yeah, hey! Oh,
I thought, see, that's what happens when Adam has, like, called glitches. No, my finger's healed. I took my stitches out, and it's doing good. It just looks horrendous.
Oh, you're good, mate. You're all good. And we've had an email. We've had an email.
About Doc's finger?
No. From a guy called Rob. And he said, Dear Ewan, love the show. Please can you ask Doc to tell you what the capital city of France is?
What? There's no capital city of France?
Well, in that case, the rest of his email is null and void then.
No, it's, I don't know the answer.
What's the capital, capital of France?
Nice. Paris. Frick, I don't know.
It's Paris.
It's Paris.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, that it sounded like a trick question, so I backed
off. It really did. I had to go look it up. I'm like, Paris, of course, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, why? Capital, what was the joke?
A group of Americans, capital cities of the world. That's not going to go well, is it? Sorry, fellas, sorry. Anyway. Fair. So the question then comes, how do the French say Paris?
Paris.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why the f*** should we say Hermes and not Hermes?
Dude, that's what they say. I'm just telling you, go to...
No.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's exactly the point, is the French also say Paris, but when you were asked the question, you said Paris.
Yes.
I didn't say Paris, I say Paris.
You lying bastard!
Oh, you mean after the second question. Okay, I got it. Now I understand. Do you realize it's 5 o'clock in the morning here? So now I understand what they attempted to do. They wanted to see your first ditch statement is to say Paris. But the reality statement is Paris. The first
it's the same reason we say Ralph Lauren, even though he pronounces it Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. Thank you. I say Ralph Lauren.
There you go.
But I just say
now
Ralph.
Now I get the joke.
Thank you for the email, Rob. I can't read the rest out because I'm not saying French twats on air. next to him, it's Adam. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Got lighting. So you've improved. You've gone from out of the broom cupboard into your own room, and now you've got light.
Well, I just turned on the room light instead of use the sunlight that's coming through the window normally in the morning. So
what you been
it's
up to?
Cloudy today. You
been
what's
busy?
Going on?
You're about to get some rain, and don't you need it? Does California still need rain?
No, we had a really wet kind of winter, so we're actually technically out of the drought, but we always need water. So
yeah.
Like people get crazy, they're gonna go, oh, we're out of the drought, and then use everything up because they go hog wild. So
and
summer is coming
again.
Right, they lifted our like water restrictions and stuff, and that's when things go bad, because then everybody just uses what we have, and then we go into a drought in two more years, and then we don't have reserves. So
cool
people.
Next game, right. Chuck Joyner. Looking
yes, sir.
Dapper as ever, mate.
Thank you. Now, good to be here.
I saw a tweet from you yesterday. You were with your senator or something.
Yeah, was in Washington, D.C. For part of the office job at a legislative conference and got a chance to sit down and talk about several issues and, you know, be part of the process.
Are we in imminent danger of seeing Joyner for president?
You're not in imminent danger of seeing Joyner for anything. No, no.
That would be such a relief, though.
I'm saying I would be about it.
No, if a twat like Trump can get into office, I'd vote for Chuck every day.
Absolutely.
Over anyone else.
Yeah, but the trouble is, you're not in our country. That doesn't help.
Well, no, I don't get a vote. I admit that. But I mean, all you've got to do is raise $200 million for the TV adverts, and you're in.
Well, yeah. So can I count on you guys for contributions?
We're going to start. So right away, we're going to start a PayPal account for Chuck, and we need $200 million for Chuck to run for president. Because there would not be a better president of the United States than Chuck friggin' Joyner, I'm telling you.
And you're doing donation matching on that?
I'll put a fiver in.
All right.
There we go. It's a start.
I get you started. There we go.
Although that's in involvement with foreign government, so, or like foreign entity.
Oh, so that you do have to declare that then? And background checks. Those won't go well with me, mate.
Yeah. Brett, you can have the ambassadorship to go over and see you. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with that.
Ambassador to the UK just because I went on a podcast with him.
Yeah.
5 years earlier.
That's how it works?
That's how it works now.
Jobs for the boys, exactly. Yeah, no question. While we're on the subject of finances, if you would like to support us via Patreon, then all you got to do is go to patreon.com/British Tech Network and you can subscribe to us. We've had a few drops in the last couple of months over, and it's because people aren't checking that PayPal are still paying. So please, if you do listen to the show, if you like the Daily Show, because the Patreon donations pay Kyle to do the Daily Show every day, if you could, then please go and check that your donation is still being given, because I just think you might find the chances are it's not. You need to renew it with PayPal. So please go and do that. I do appreciate all of the things that people do that they give us. We've had one guy who's given us like $30 for like the last 2 years. And it's incredibly generous. Thank you so much to everyone that goes through Patreon. Next to him, Patrice, how you doing, mate?
Doing great. It was a short week here in Germany. We had one of those public holidays that we seem to have in May and June.
I did get an email about about my comment about how on earth did Germany fight a war during May.
But the thing is, you're right.
I told them to piss off. have you seen my meat curing?
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it looked awesome.
So I did bacon, and the bacon was a bit salty, I have to say. But I've done like a prosciutto out of pork loin, and that's getting ready to get carved up this weekend. And I've also started salt beef last night, so it's got 2 days to sit and go. I'm loving my curing. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it definitely looks awesome. I mean, I think I have to try that once. Yeah,
get the book that I posted off Amazon, and it's brilliant. It guides you through the whole thing. But well worth it. And last but by no means least, the man who turned his futon into a guitar rack on my suggestion alone. I'm feeling deeply honoured. Brett Terpstra, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Because it wasn't working as a futon anyway.
No.
Without, you know, an actual futon mattress on it, so.
Listen, people are going to watch this going, Jesus, that dude's got a rack that holds like 30 guitars.
And he owns 4, so.
It must be a pro musician.
Well, there's room for improvement then, right?
Yeah, right. I cut your bit. You remember the after hours conversation we had? I recorded it all, and I was going to put it on the after show bit on the end last time about the woman at the local company that we slagged off that you said you knew, and I lost the guts to put it on, so I took it off. So
I don't remember at all what you're talking about.
You said that, never mind. No, because we can't. We don't even put it on. It was potentially liable.
Bring it back up in the after show this time.
Yeah, we'll bring it back up. It was to do with the colorware people, wasn't it?
Oh, my. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So what... sorry, am I interrupting anyone? Was that you, Doc, by any chance?
I'm
watching you. I'm doing the intros. Doc's watching YouTube. Yep. Qualcomm is to pursue iPhone import ban in the United States in the ongoing Apple feud. Good luck with that. Moving on. Apple returns humongous results. We've got to cover this. I'm not a great one for the books. 11 billion in profit, 52 billion in revenue, 50.8 million iPhones sold in the quarter. Holy macrolli.
Except for that's flat, isn't it? The increase in iPhones was, what, 1%? Or no, decreased by 1%.
Yeah, Tim said... Yeah. Now this is gonna Doc's gonna love this. Tim blames the decrease in iPhone 7 sales on rumors about the 8. Go on, Doc.
I hear that every day. Doc's, I'm not Doc.
Doc's still watching YouTube.
No, that's my victory dance because. Like I said, of all the things besides my personal opinion, the number one thing I hate about the rumors is there are literally people in companies' lives that do get affected by these things. And people, I've had this argument with people, and they're like, no, it doesn't really matter because, well, Apple still does great. And you guys remember there was a company in Arizona, the glass company that Apple had bought prior to, like, Gorilla. I think it was the 5S or the 7.
Yeah, the sapphire glass, yes.
Right. So that rumor came out prematurely. And then so what immediately happened was a bunch of people tried to posit the market. So they jumped on and they bought all the stock in that company. But then that company didn't come through with their, you know, promise to Apple. So they get yanked and then all the money gets pulled out. All the stocks get sold on a rush. People lost money on that deal. Then all those people got fired. The company's basically closed. And all that stuff happened for a rumor. Had it stayed quiet and they got to where they were going and it came out, they would all probably be sitting on some pretty big bucks right now. Now, granted, that's all still speculation, but that's not the only case. And I can probably find it. There are people that get fired off the backs of other people selling clickbait rumors.
Wait.
The voice of sanity, go on.
There's two things going on here. One, stock speculation is stock speculation, and that's just sort of how it works and has always worked. And secondly, that company their technology couldn't deliver on their promises. So I'm not sure the company would have survived even if they had gone quiet until they didn't deliver to Apple.
I'm not so sure about that part.
I think they would have. Honestly, I do think they would have. I think that they got too big for their britches once all of the news hit and everybody and their mother, that they were the sweethearts of every podcast. Go back a couple of years.
I know what you're talking about. The problem is that the underlying technology that they said they could deliver, they never got to work.
Yeah.
They couldn't deliver on and that happens with companies all the time. I mean,
it wouldn't have been this unnecessary cash injection to get squandered. I mean, I tell you, I still stand by it. They would have been much better had they not been put on Front Street, as we call it in the hood.
I mean, the negative press they got alone probably, I mean, caused this issue and I mean, probably repelled a couple of potential customers because, I mean, if a public failure like this happens, then other customers might say, okay, they don't know what they're doing, they can't deliver, so I'm not going to go with them. So I would agree with Doc here that if it had been quiet, the company could have survived. It would still have made it longer,
but I think ultimately it would have gone downhill because, again, even if they had took on other customers, if you can't deliver the product, your company doesn't survive.
Go ahead.
Well, I agree with Doc. I don't think that's the best example, but I do think that I'm with Tim. I think these rumors, they make me crazy too, because when I go through my RSS feeds, any headline that says iPhone 8 might, iPhone 8 could, iPhone 8, you know, those things, they're clickbait. They're strictly clickbait, and still, the number of people that, you know, contact me and say, well, what do you know about the iPhone 8? What do you think about this? Will it be something I should wait for? And it's like, you know, the supply chain rumors are a little, this much better, but That's all. They're this much better. The rest of it is just sheer speculation. And unfortunately, I think it does hurt. It does hurt sales. It does affect sales. Just like I had someone text me last night and ask me, should they buy the current 5K iMac or should they wait? Now, that's a little different because, you know, Apple did come out and indicate there's going to be a new iMac coming out. So that's on them if they did it. But some of this other stuff, you know, just, I mean, I can say anything I want to right now about the iPhone 8, turn it into a rumor, and I'll get some clicks or some views or whatever.
There are sites that work. That's all they do.
Yes.
That's how they function. Yes.
My show notes effectively are macrumors.com.
Mac Rumors is a little different, but not completely.
Yeah. Well, at least it's honest
because
and title.
They do often put out, you know, things that are fully there. They don't. It's not all rumors. The title, at the time, the title made sense. Right now, the title doesn't really make sense. But I mean, why bother considering you're one of the biggest floated sites on the Mac-verse, so to speak. So I think at this time, changing their title would be lame. But they're way more than that right now. And in a way, that kind of sucks because I guess if the biggest site around has the word in it, everybody else must assume that it's okay, even though you'd have to be pretty dilt to assume that that's all they're about right now.
Well, I think a key point is that you got to remember that people are paying attention to this stuff. I mean, it does affect sales. There was a time that you really didn't think about what next year's model would be. But now next year's model, or you know, whenever, is getting so much more coverage. And people are so intent on having the absolute latest, greatest, whether they really need it or whether the enhancements that latest and greatest bring really make a difference to them. You know, they want to be able to say, I have an iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Because they want to be able to say, I have an iPhone 8, not because it has the better this, the better that, or the better the other.
I mean, my mom just asked me, I think yesterday, whether she should wait for the iPhone 8. And I've never talked to her about the iPhone 8 or anything. She just read it somewhere in the news. So she seems to be interested in what's coming. And I mean, she seems to consider waiting for an iPhone. And I said, I simply told her, okay, let's just wait for September and let's see what's coming, and then you can still make the decision. You don't have to think about that right now. But I mean, as I said, if my mom is thinking about this and is hearing about this, then I think it's a mainstream issue already. And that might have an impact on the bottom line.
I'm an old school romantic and possibly cranky about this, but you could torture me and I wouldn't be able to tell you a single rumor about the iPhone 8. I ignore all of it because I love the magic of a keynote. I remember the days when keynotes were so secretive and no one could stream anything from it. Now Apple sends it out on the Apple TV, which is fine. But the rumors, they ruin it for me. Like, the magic of those first couple after the iPhone was first announced. That was fun. I wouldn't give that up.
And nobody will condemn the people that, you know, let's just say we're now 3 weeks after the iPhone 8 announcement. Nobody goes back and does any fact checking on, okay, you were right, you were wrong, you're whatever. No. And frankly, I'd like to see some condemnation to the people who, you know, just pull this stuff out of thin air and, you know, and do hurt sales, affect sales, whether it's good or bad. It's just not the way it should be done.
How is this any different from a concept car at the Geneva Motor Show?
Well, or any other piece of technology. I mean, news does.
It's a proof of concept, Ewan. The concept cars are.
Geneva, Doc, it's a place in another country.
No, I got it. So my point,
it's near Paris.
Let me breathe real quick, okay? Because I didn't hear the part about show because you clipped.
I'm joking. Chill out, man. It was a joke. You're expecting it.
It's a false equivalency because if it's at a show, it's public. If it's at Tokyo Auto Salon or the Geneva Car Show or even the Detroit Auto Show, that's now public. When the guys that go with the long lenses and shoot it with the black markers and the covers and all of that stuff on it, that's almost the same.
Yeah, but no, so here's my point. Where's the difference in the fact that you've got the Geneva Auto Show where concept cars are released that never actually make it anyway? The Aston Martin Lagonda was a classic one of that. Where's the difference between you going down to Millbrook in Bedfordshire and with your big long lens and shooting it? And where's the difference between you stealing some plans and saying this is definitely coming? Or looking at F1 and IndyCar and saying, well, here's the innovation that's going on in IndyCar and this is going to hit the high street in 10 years' time. The difference is that Apple is F1 of technology. And you don't see it until it comes out in the F1 of technology, but it doesn't stop people saying, well, what could they do with F1? You know, the what is the technology development of F1 in the next 2 years? That's still speculated. And the real problem, I think, is that you're, and this is the Americans' fault, and I will squarely put the blame down on the Americans. The stock market system in America has been corrupted to the point where you can bet on a CEO farting at 10 o'clock in the morning and looking at whether the stocks will change. And that's the real problem. This idea of betting on stocks going down is against the overall aim, if you like, or ethos of what stock trading was all about in the first place. And the fact that you could, I mean, I'm watching Billions at the moment, which is just a fantastic TV series. It's in season two. And the Bobby Axelrods of the world are typical American shysters who manipulate things to get the way that they want. And the stock market and the SEC sometimes allows them to do that. And that fuels the need to false news things so that stocks can go up and down so that you can bet against them going down, and then you produce a false story via a link that then makes the stock go down and you win money because the stock went down, etc.
I hope you don't think that anyone in America, including the stockbrokers, disagree with you.
No, and I'm not suggesting, by the statement I just made, I'm not suggesting that America is a corrupt country. I'm just saying the way that the stock market is managed is not good.
Dude, it's a farce, the whole thing. The idea of shorting stocks by intentionally leaking news, which everyone now knows is how it operates, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
There's no end in sight because there's nobody there that want to fix it. I mean, in a certain sense, it's not that far off of last year, the year before, where Carl Icahn buys a bunch of tech stock, mostly Apple, and decides to go on a press junket and just creating havoc.
And then sells it.
Well, here's how you fix it, is you put a stockbroker in charge of the treasury. That's how you, oh, wait, no, that's opposite. But that's what we did.
We're not on opposite day. To your point about the cars, I just saw this the last couple of weeks happening the exact same discussion happening for the BMW i3. There have been rumors and people taking pictures of a potential new i3 facelift, and the exact same discussions and rumors and should I buy or shouldn't I? Everything that we see happening with the iPhone, you see in the car market, exactly the same. So I don't think there is a difference whatsoever between the car market and the technology market.
So here's a question I have. I mean, we're talking about, okay, so this impacts, you know, Apple's bottom line, which is, you know, a multi-billion dollar company with, what, $256 billion in the bank. So it has an impact on them. But there's also... there's a market that is tech and more specifically Apple news. So what would you guys have them talk about for the, you know, when it's not October and when it's not maybe the spring, what happens to all of, these guys make their bread and butter, you know? So we're talking about some sites, and these are sites that employ people. They get ad revenue. They have an economy too. And maybe we don't like it, and we don't have to pay attention to it. But you know, there is another side of this. It's not so black and white.
They built their company on a false pretense, brother. Like, they built their company on something that theoretically they shouldn't have necessarily been in anyway. So if that became your backbone, now a lot of these sites, not all, a lot of these sites started out as helpful tips, how to use your kit. I can say this because Brett and I used to work for one, and for the most part, the spinoff of that site, and you guys have heard me tell Steve this to his face, Steve parts are great, but Dennis, all Dennis does is does that rumor and speculation crap, and it drives me insane, because I think Apple World Today has a chance to rise above that, but now that he's dead square in the middle, he basically runs that side of it, and Steve still does what Steve always did, review great products, tell you what you should spend your money on, what you shouldn't spend your money on.
Tua always had a no rumors policy. Like, they canned any story that didn't have multiple sources. Partly as a reaction to like 9 to 5 and Mac rumors at the time.
Yeah.
Just it wasn't the business model they chose to go with. Of course, they're gone now, so I don't know what that says.
Adam, I think I just heard you say that it's okay to make up facts so that you can have clicks.
I'm not talking about, we're not talking about sites that totally make up facts. I mean, there are, like you said, Chuck, there's a lot of people that are watching the supply chain. They're talking about what analysts are looking at and talking about who are also watching the supply chain. You can verify some of these things. And a lot of these quote unquote leaks, I think what is happening is people are seeing and hearing about prototype stuff that Apple is working on. That's why you talked about going back and fact checking this stuff. It would be very hard because Apple has multiple versions of these things in development actively, you know, up until the point that they actually release the thing. So I think a lot of the time when you're hearing about this feature or that feature, ultimately what's going on is it's a feature that was planned and for whatever reason just didn't make the cut, right? They had a prototype someone was working on. So, I mean, I don't think it's all just being totally made up. There's not people just like, some are, but I don't think generalizing is fair to do either.
I don't have any issues with, I mean, speculation in general. I mean, if you take, I mean, what the example Ewan had with the Formula One, if you take what someone else is doing and say, okay, what would happen if Apple applied this to the next phone, would that make sense? How would that be implemented? Things like that. I'm fine with that. As long as you say this is a mind experiment, this is something I'm speculating about, but it's not fact. It's not based in any facts whatsoever. It's not what Apple is going to do. We don't know. I'm fine with that. I mean, speculating is okay. I think that where it crosses the line is where people start basically telling it as if it was fact, as if Apple had done this, and as if Apple didn't do it, they would be doomed and all of that. I think that's where me personally crosses the line.
Hang on a second, because I can tell you we have a contact in Apple who occasionally passes information through, and they've passed us 3 lots of information through, and I don't disbelieve any of them. I trust this person through another person. But one of those things, we got the specs through for the mini iPad, and when it was going to be released, and we were on the money on nearly all of the stuff that came through. And we also got an information about the TV, and we knew that the TV existed. Did it make market? No, it didn't. But what you're saying is a rumor, I believe, was true. I don't think it was a rumor. I think it was actuality. It just didn't make market. And that doesn't make us a criminal in the eyes of Chuck Joyner and all the rest of you. If Apple makes a decision not to pursue that as a production item, it was true. We got information from a reliable source. We published it. One in three turned out to be on the money, and 2 didn't. But it doesn't mean that they were lies. It means that they weren't clickbait. They were things that were real but just didn't happen.
Yeah, but I mean, if you present it this way, this is a different story. But if you speculate yourself and then present it as if it was reality, and as if this is now happening, I think that's the issue.
I think that's a touch naive.
Ewan, let me start another argument.
Go on then. not with a short, but go on then.
So, and I'm not picking on you. I guess I'm picking on anybody that doesn't. Is that news? Is that something that you could be reporting, should be reporting? We're talking a lot about the negative effects of this kind of information. What kind of responsibility do you have? Do I have? Do any of the major Mac news sites have to report this stuff? I mean, is it honest to God news?
No, it is clickbait.
That bothers me.
Just because it's true doesn't make it not clickbait. Oh, sorry, that's okay. My input.
I'm going into the other room. Then there's a pearl handle revolver and a glass of whiskey. I'm making some time.
Well, okay, you guys. I don't know if you guys remember this. Maybe about two and a half years ago, I did bring up something that I'm again. This is my thought. I haven't fully vetted this thought, but I think there is somewhat a cultural difference too. But we have started to become closer to that in all walks of U.S. Not just clickbait type sites. For instance, the tabloidal thing or the Gawker type thing or, you know, whatever is, I think just from me watching football, round, not football, oblong, I see they always, there's a section where they'll show up what's in the newspapers, and there's a certain amount of the newspapers that are, this is very technical, here's a guy, here's his shot count, you know, here he is, whatever is. And there's a certain amount of the football rags that are like, oh, I seen the bloke out with this bird, and that bird used to go with this other football bloke, and oh, this is going to create a fire, whatever. So I think the tabloidal side of things is a cultural thing different in the UK than it is here, but we have, since the birth of the Inquirer and things like that, we have gone more towards the UK style of tabloids because those papers make a lot of money, and now we do that here too. But I think the general population here didn't grow up with heavy tabloids other than alien baby found in Tennessee mom kind of thing, and now
yeah, back when they were
ATV
fun
and the Kardashians and all of those shows that are so very popular now are more similar to the UK level tabloid type stuff, and it's just relatively new to us, and we don't really know how to deal with it. I think that might be true.
I'm going to say maybe I've been around media for a lot of years, and the truth and bullshit test tends to not evade me. I look at stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm not naive as to what I think is not false news or fake news. It's just, you know, not clickbait. It's just, it's something that is speculative or something that is designed to get me to take an action that I don't really want to take and they just want me to take. And I'm not sucked in by that. You know, I've spent a lot of time, I've met celebrities who are great people off camera as well as on camera, and I've met a couple of celebrities who are completely different people, who are the most loathsome individuals that you would ever want to not mix with. But I don't look at a celebrity on TV and think that what I'm seeing is the real person, no matter who they are. And I don't look at everything that comes through Mac Rumors or through any 9to5 Mac or any of the other sites and think for one second that it's all real. I take it all with a pinch of salt. And if you're not doing that, then you kind of deserve what you get, I'm afraid. It's you know, if you're that dumb.
The Daily Mail has more sway in the US than it does in England, as far as I can tell.
Mate, if you ever quote a Daily Mail story on Twitter, I'll block you.
Oh, no, I absolutely wouldn't. But I see so many things sourced back to Daily Mail.
Oh, Daily Mail's shit.
I agree. But see,
so you understand it, right? So what you just said about Daily Mail, I say about certain Mac sites.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Well, there's nothing wrong with you saying that either. That's what I'm saying. It's all fair game, isn't it? Everyone puts everything out and you make your own choices. And if you want to hate them and you think they're dog shit sites, then you don't recommend them. You tell your friends to stay away from them. If someone says, what do you think of this story I saw on so-and-so? You say, it's probably bull. I would trust more what I saw on this site than that site. Then that's the way it goes. That's life. It's like people down the supermarket. You know, the person walks up to you and goes, I tell you what, I've just heard that Donald Trump's going to run for president, or Chuck Joyner's going to run for president, rather. You know, you can decide whether the mom that's buying a loaf of bread is a reliable source or not.
But you and I agree with everything you just said, except to come back to the very where we started this, that those things affect real world sales patterns. They affect results, and that's where I have a problem with it. If sometimes it's fun, you know, you want to speculate on who's dating who, or you know, any of that to Doc's point, you know, okay, that seems to be just human nature. But when it comes down to affecting investments in companies' performance, and therefore people's jobs and people's lives, that's where I have a problem.
That's
with
the stock market's fault, though.
Okay.
Don't disagree.
No, it's not that I disagree. It's that I kind of want perspective here, because yes, I believe when Tim Cook says the rumor stuff is causing people to hold off on buying iPhones, but Apple has also pretty well trained, you know, its customers that they release an iPhone at a certain time of the year, and people, even without the rumors and the speculation and stuff like that, people know when it's coming out. And more lately, Apple has not been shipping products and not been delivering products and missing those normal cycles for whatever reason, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that either. But, you know, to, like, put it all back on the rumor sites, I'm sure a little bit of it is, but at the end of the day, you know, Apple just had their numbers, and yeah, they're flat a little bit, but the company is making more money per iPhone sold than ever. They've increased their installed base of iPhone users, what was it, 50% year over year, so they have even more customers than they did before. So when the next upgrade cycle comes, you know, so all these people are waiting, but it's just deferred revenue, right? They're waiting because when the iPhone 8 comes out, they're all going to jump on it. And really, the bigger problem for Apple this year is going to be that they're not going to be able to ship enough of the dang things fast enough to make the money. So in a lot of ways, Apple is their own worst enemy.
But how do you know what they're going to be able to do 8 months from now or 5 months from now?
No, so hang on. I got a problem with this, because one of the things that Tim Cook said was demand was stronger for the iPhone 7 Plus than we imagined. That means that Apple does not run focus groups. And if Apple does not run focus groups, they are stupid in the extreme.
Apple has always said they don't run focus groups.
Well,
at least while Steve was alive, that was part of their operating strategy.
That is stupidity. You know,
even
it's not though. Focus groups give you bullshit.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. I'm with you on that. As someone who is working in a company that's shipping products, no matter how many people you ask, you will always be off by at least a couple percent how many customers actually buy your product.
Just stop.
If Apple had focus grouped half their products, those products would never exist.
Just stop for one second. We make the phone that is the leading camera on Flickr. So we are making a unit which has a camera which is significantly better than the lower unit. And it's not going to sell more based on the fact that most people care about their mobile photography because it's the largest camera that ever goes on Twitter. And that doesn't ring a bell in your head that says, might want to make a few more of these. Bullshit. Bullshit.
But how much is enough? Might want to make a few more inferior products? Is that what you're saying?
Might want to make more what?
Inferior. He's saying more. Apple should have known that they needed more iPhone 7 Pluses because that's the one with the high-end camera system, and people care about the photography, the camera quality on their phones.
I see, but I don't think focus groups have anything to do with it. I think they should have just planned for that.
I'm a twat who lives in the middle of England, and I worked that out.
Yeah.
And I'm a twat.
I don't think they need a lot of surveys to figure that out.
Exactly.
That just seems bad planning.
And they still didn't make enough. How the hell are we 3 months down the line on AirPods and there's still a 6-week delay on them?
Yeah. They're on the shelves in the US. No.
Well, just wait until we start taxing all foreign manufacturing. Yeah, I mean, we're going to run out of iPhones pretty fast if that happens.
Oh, mate, I didn't think that it was, you know, like I said, I'm an idiot, and I worked out that they'd need more sevens than sevens, seven pluses than sevens.
Yeah, but how much more? I mean, even if they know that it would be more than before, how much? Is it 1%? Is it 10%? Is it 100%? How much is it? And that makes, I mean, given the scale of Apple's production, that makes a huge difference.
On the week that this happened, that there is a bloke at Cupertino called Colin, who no one wants to know because he's named Colin and he's really boring, and he analyzes, anal being the point that I'm trying to make, he analyzes the projections on what they're going to sell. If Apple don't do that, if there isn't a department that does predictive production manufacturing, I'll eat my left shoe, because that's just rubbish.
I'm pretty sure there is, but I mean, given the scale, if you're off by 1%, that can make a big difference in what you're producing, whether you can, supply it or not.
I ask this without knowledge, but is there a shortage of manufacturing? Is it just that they maxed out manufacturing?
I think they've done what I think they've done what an awful lot of companies are doing, and they are manufacturing just in time.
Yeah, sure.
Well, of course they are. That is one of the number one business practices. That is a cherished business practice.
I don't think that they're not honest about that, Ewan. They've been doing that for years, and I think they're very upfront about that. I don't think that's anything new.
What's been a hallmark of Tim Cook's success?
Yeah.
39 minutes on the first story. Awesome.
there were several topics covered.
Wait, we didn't even talk about the fact that a good portion of Apple's profits were from AirPods and watches.
How were they from AirPods? They can't deliver them. It took me 6 weeks to get a pair.
But see, you're mixing what happened to you for what happened to everybody. This is not your fault. A lot of people do this, but that's not technically how it should be reported. You can anecdotally tell how it happened to you, but you can say overall it seems like a lot of people are getting theirs. I just still haven't got mine. This is super funny. Adam does this a lot. When he having a problem that only affected him and not the rest of the people, Adam will always say, this is the way it's happening to me, and I know most people aren't having this problem, but that doesn't mean it doesn't piss me off. So I like the way Adam makes the statement. But I have watched, and I know you were just taking a piss, Ewan, but there's a lot of the tech press that report it from the way that it's happening to them, and they just say, like, that's reality for everybody else, and they never qualify it with, these are my situation, your mileage may vary, and that kind of stuff. And that also drives me absolutely insane.
Doc, you want to take 50% of what I say with a pinch of salt, and even that should be taken with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, I know you were taking a pinch.
90% of Apple's money is overseas.
Another thing that I want to point out to people when they're like watching the quarterly results call, they're hearing things, or you're seeing, you know, AirPods are still on a six week delay. There's a lot of advantages to the just-in-time thing, Ewan, from a financial perspective. I think, and I always try to remind my audience this, you know, at the end of the day, Apple is a corporation and they do things in a corporate way, as much as we want to think that they're somehow like beyond or above or outside of those sorts of things as Apple fans. So I'm not entirely convinced. And again, as we've been talking about, this is purely speculation on my part. You know, that 6 week delay, there is a certain marketing advantage to that, to having things be short and in high demand by consumers and consumers not being able to get them. There is a bump up that happens. And I don't think that Apple is necessarily naive about that fact either. And same thing, like when you're listening to the results call, you have to remember Tim Cook, part of what he's doing there is marketing. There's marketing stuff in there. Yes, it's a financial results call, but Apple is going to spin those numbers and spin things in the most positive way that they possibly can.
It started with Ms. Ahrens.
No, it started when the company was founded.
Yes. No,
you know, this is just how corporations run. Hang on.
Real short supply started with Ahrens. And I think she's doing a massive...
I think you need to go back and review your history.
Well, go on. Tell me a product that was in massive short supply like the watch was.
I'd have to go back and review numbers, but I'll tell you what, go back and review numbers
and we'll start the next story. Apple is officially the greatest, the most wearablest, what's the phrase, the American phrase? The winningest wearablest company in the whole world, apparently.
Wearables?
Yeah. They're named the world's largest wearables vendor. But no, you guys do winningest, don't you? The winningest variable wearables.
Some of us do, but it's a smaller population than you think.
3.5 million watch sales. However, Google Maps, Amazon and eBay have dropped Apple Watch support, but then who gives a shit? Because no one uses those on the Apple Watch anyway. So,
which, I mean, that's more telling about watchOS 3 than it is about any of those companies.
I agree. I mean, I think that...
I can totally see dropping the development team for any watchOS support. Just get your notifications via your phone. I mean, like, forward your notifications from your phone to your watch. Google Maps is the only one I think... I would potentially miss.
I actually want to stay on that topic for a second if we can,
because I've been wanting to talk to some Mac people about this.
What are you going to find out?
Watch apps. I think that there was a reason a lot of the developers are or companies are stopping development of watch apps was because they jumped in way too early and just threw together. I mean, most watch apps, if we're being honest, are garbage. Like, there's no reason for them to exist. I have so many apps that show up when I open up my watch app thing that it's like, why does this has no functionality? This has no advantage. It's like everybody rushed. It was like a gold rush that there was there wasn't even copper.
Well, because I don't know, it supports watchOS was a selling point back then. Changed quickly, I think.
And Apple was, I think, for a time even showing Apple Watch apps in a special category and saying, hey, these apps support it, so you got some extra marketing through that. So, I agree. I mean, even today, I see a lot of garbage apps that come out. I mean, one example being, or I shouldn't say garbage in this case, but the Overcast app on the Apple Watch is pretty horrible, for example.
I would argue not, because they just added that. That's the only one where you can actually download a podcast now to your watch.
Sure, I like the functionality, but how it behaves and how it's, I mean, the whole usability is horrible.
Most of the apps just came out in the beginning sort of as second con, right? There was just another console to display a sheet, and that was it. They didn't do anything. So now it's like a hunt for apps that actually do something. That's the part that's a little bit crazy.
Yeah,
well, the ones who include complications that are actually useful, I mean, and a lot of apps, there's no useful complication for them, but the ones that do are the ones that I find most useful. And the ones that take voice input, like the MindMeister app and Drafts, where I can just add notes from my phone, I mean, from my wrist, those I find useful.
I have a real problem with
90% of the rest, no.
I have a real.
They shouldn't exist.
I have a real problem with the word complications, because in a real watch, complications are the things that make it work. In an Apple Watch, complications are the thing that make it really friggin' annoying.
Make it complicated.
Exactly.
Too spot on for you.
So yeah, the phrase is apt. So I've recently got my Apple Watch back. Here we go. It's not back. It's not the one that was stolen. Zane sold me this one. Thank you, Zane, for selling me that. He bought the version 2. I just don't need anything more than the version 1. It's fine. So he gave me a good deal on this, and I said, yes, thank you very much. The interesting thing was, what applications did I put back on? Because, of course, when I got my initial Apple Watch, I was like, get the ECB one, get the tally counter, get tons and tons of stuff. I've only put 4 apps back on.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the real thing.
The main point I wanted to get to, because again, this is the spin that happened in the tech press this week, was that a lot of sites were trying to show this as speculation that there was some sort of problem with Apple Watch, or that developers were bailing on Apple Watch and this was bad for Apple and everybody else. And the reality is, this is just an adjustment of what should have happened in the first place. Like, we don't need to be panicking over this. This is developers realizing, like, oh, you know, the watch is a very specific use case and we need to be smarter about how we're developing it. And a bunch of them are deciding, look, our app just doesn't need to be there. There's no reason for it to be there.
Yeah. And this is probably due to the fact that Apple basically adjusted what they are marketing the watch to be for. I mean, at the beginning it was, this is another platform. You can put apps on it. You can do whatever you want. We don't really know what we're doing with it. And then with the Series 2 last year, there was a big shift. Or even with the watchOS, I think watchOS 2 and watchOS 3 updates, there was a shift towards more, okay, this is what it is for. This is why it's useful. This is what you can do with complications and so on. And some apps maybe thought it was a good idea at the beginning and then realized, it was not.
Chuck, you had a point.
I think it's interesting to listen to you all. I think that if you can put 4 apps that are useful on your Apple Watch, and I mean really useful, that's enough. That's enough. And your totally. 4 may not be my 4 or Doc's 4 or Patrice's 4. Mm-hmm. It all depends. But, you know, the press, the media, the analysts, they all want, okay, well, the watch has to be more. It has to be bigger, better, badder, faster, you know, do more. And at some point, you know, a hammer is a hammer. Okay, a screwdriver is a screwdriver. There's only so many things you can do with it. That does not make it any less useful. And mm-hmm. so if that means that the Apple Watch is a mature product at this point, fine. But I know a lot of people that are wearing them, and you brought up the fact that I was in Washington yesterday. Man, I saw a lot of Apple Watches, you know, and you ask people what they're doing with them. They usually will tell you two or three specific things, but they aren't necessarily my two or three specific things. So, you know, it's this expectation that everything has to do more. And you're talking about the complications. You don't need it to be complicated. Just set it up for what you want to do, and then don't mm-hmm. be seduced by all this other stuff that clogs the watch and clogs the experience.
Sure, if it was a $99 device, but at the price, you want it to do a lot.
Well, if it does, I disagree, Brett. If it does what I want it to do and does it well,
so that's what are your four apps, Chuck?
What are my four apps? Boy, I have to think about that. Okay, navigation, Apple Pay, apps. Notifications, dictation, notes. That's five.
Okay, so productivity stuff.
Productivity stuff, correct.
And it does that for you. Okay.
And does it great for me. That it works. It is worth the money to have it on my wrist. Kent Kenray once asked me how, you know, if I forgot my watch in the morning, would I come back for it? And the answer is yes. I would drive 30 minutes back to get my watch because it's that important to me.
Yeah. So I had my watch stolen on New Year's Eve, and I have survived without the watch up until a week ago. And the one thing I've missed the most is the timer for my tea. and actually, Alexa's sufficed.
Do you use Bloom?
No, I use the timer that's built in.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Why? What's Bloom got that I haven't got?
I use AeroPress Timer. I don't know. I just like the very specific. You can tap something and it'll kind of walk you through.
Just this is something that really, really I think is brilliant about the age that we live in. We can have a semantic discussion about something that does nothing else other than count down from zero or something to zero.
I wouldn't list awesome. Any timer app as one of my four, because obviously there is a timer that I could live without any of the others. Sorry.
Right. We should do Desert Island Watch. It's like Desert Island discs, but you only get to take four applications with you. And which one would you save from the waves? It would be superb.
There are so many apps that are no good on Desert Island, though.
Right.
Desert Island.
Yeah, I don't no longer need Apple Pay for sure.
Nor does Patrice.
I'm cast away on a desert island and I need True. Meetings app.
Yeah, at that point, it's basically just Runkeeper and maybe... I mean, workflow is not worth much once you're on a desert island. Drafts, I mean, you're going to need a journal.
Right.
Day one.
That's funny. My number one apps on my watch are the workout app, mm-hmm. Controller, the media controller, which is not really an app. That's a sort of a native feature. So I guess I can't count that. Day one, which I use sort of religiously, Fantastical, and the various camera trigger apps for various camera apps. I mean, that's primarily what
I use. I like Camera Trigger when I've used it. It's brilliant. Good point from Paul Dixon. He says, I barely use any third-party apps on the watch, but what I want more from from the Apple Watch is more faces and the ability to customize them. And I'm totally with him on that, because I would love to do a BTN face.
I thought at one point Apple had said they were going to have a developer API for watch faces. Am I just imagining that? Did I dream that?
There was at one point.
But
that's not, did it get removed?
If you look at the
watch faces, started seeing them in the App Store. You could download for a while watch faces. I never found any of them worth anything, so I kind of stopped.
But you can't make your own watch face as a user. As a developer you can perhaps, but not as a user.
Right.
And the one thing I really hate is the fact of the time code. On the customizable face, the time code appears high right or low right, and that's it. You can't have it appearing in the center. You can't lay your apps out and put the time code where you want it to appear. It's customizable in inverted commas because you can put a JPEG behind, but it's not customizable in the true sense. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you know what'd be really wicked is like if you can. Sorry, but jeez, would be really wicked if you could go on your phone or even on a 192.168.1.something, right? And you had like here's a JPEG of the or PNG of the face, and here's all of the elements that you might want to put in to build a complication, and you could drag and drop things over.
Yeah.
So it was sort of awesome. You a catalog of your apps. So here's your Fantastical drafts, you know, AeroPress T timer,
like a Mac interface for making
light trigger, and you just drag parts in and you build a complication and you kind of fester over it for like an hour. And you're like, let me move this back and just press go and it would land in your thing. Oh my God, that would be the trickiest.
You need watch face author like they have iBooks author.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be amazing.
I think it would be possible. To simply
I would probably be tweaking out on that more than doing work half the time.
Doug's got so animated that his focus has gone on his camera. He's got wood and talking about it and he's so excited
that I the think camera lost focus. Possible to do in the watch app, just on the phone. Yeah. I don't see why not.
No, it was nothing wrong with the camera, dude. It was just you were so animated.
I'm just now watching Doc's delayed video on this, and yeah, that's amazing.
You've grown that Safari.
That's, I mean, he's a man who lives in Hawaii. That's the most he's moved in 2 years. and he's got to clean his camera again because he just spat his drink over it. So there's two things I love this week, right? One's a story about the iPhone 8 rumors. And there was a picture of Steve Jobs on this mucked up phone on Mac Rumors looking at an iPad 1. I love that shot because it looks like Steve Jobs is having a shit.
It does.
It does. It's sure. Like I've been going on about the morning motion, and if your game passes the morning motion test with me, if I can play it while I'm having a crap in the morning, then it's a good game. And that looks like Steve is doing the morning motion test.
Oh, Ewan, about 2 weeks ago, I was on Brett's show. And I told my recommendation for Brett was to go back and watch the 4 or 5 episodes of The Pinch that we did. Because it's probably some of the best podcast gold ever.
It is. We need to start doing The Pinch again. We've got to start doing The Pinch. We could do one after the show. 5 minutes on a topic.
See, Chuck scared us off because when we had Chuck on one time, he was like, I am way too sophisticated for this crap. And then that was the end of it. So
The Pinch is an explicit hat take.
I blame Chuck for killing it.
We'll do The Pinch.
I don't even remember it.
Oh, The Pinch.
See?
We'll do a Pinch after this. Chat room, pick a topic for The Pinch after this. And the other one is that mock-up is brilliant. That is apparently what the Siri-based smart speaker is going to look like. And
oh my God, that's a JBL rave speaker.
No, it could be a junk but loud one, but it's actually supposed to be a Mac Pro-like concave design. Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you, yeah. Tim is going to auction off a lunch.
Again.
This went for $600,000 in it last time.
I have a love-hate relationship with this concept.
I think you're going to echo what I'm about to say, Doc, but go on.
So, I really, as a business person, and I do value his time, he's probably one of the most brilliant people ever, I really, really, really would love to sit down and bend an ear to have an hour with Cook. I almost screwed that up. How did that even happen? Yo, is there whiskey in this coffee? Holy crap. that is... Wow. Okay, note to self, don't smoke weird green plants before show. Anyway, the thing that I guess sort of kills it... Now, if you're a consultant, and you're a consultant, and say you're from the biggest company on the planet, and I'm going to hire you for consultation, it probably would cost me $400,000 to have you come through and talk story, just like it cost $400,000 to have Barry come and give a speech, whatever. But it seems like there could be so much more done with this, and it would be better if it supported people who couldn't necessarily afford to give Tim Cook $500,000 to come in and have some crappy coffee with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, how about I'm going to donate $400,000 and then Tim, you go talk to 20 like startups, like brand new cats coming into the game, or you go talk to some kids and we're going to match those funds and give it to a school and work on their entrepreneurship program or something like that. But just rich guy pay a rich guy to have a rich guy conversation and making it new so that everybody's jealous about it. It's a little bit douchey and sort of anti-Apple.
Totally with you. What they need to do is, no, I think they should do this because it goes to charity. It's a good cause, and that the rich guy conversation should happen, and the charity should benefit from it. But at the same time, they should say, right, we're going to pick three people who've bought an iPhone, who've bought an iPad, who've bought a Mac in the last year, and we're going to send the jet for them, and we're going to bring them over. And three people on the jet, it's going to cost them nothing in terms of global sales.
Yeah, the whole Pretty Woman experience.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know that we had the
and
same discussion
And you get Tim to shag you afterwards.
Year.
There we go. So, no, no, that's not what I was saying, Doc. But you know, you get to have lunch in the Cooper Tea canteen with Tim and Johnny and all the boys and Fatty Phil and the other one, I can't remember his name, who's on the directorship of Ferrari. And who dances like your dad. And
Cute.
Yeah, cute. And you should have lunch with those boys, and you should be able to sit there and they go, so what do you think of? And you should be able to go, and another thing. And that's what should happen. Three times, three people from around the globe who've bought your product, you bring them over, they tell you what you think, and stuff your focus group.
Yep. If you go back probably 1 year and listen to the Mac show, you will hear exactly the same argument. I remember that we talked about this last year.
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
No, we did.
But it just goes to show that it still hasn't gone anywhere.
Yes.
And it sort of tends to lead to the really right now more than ever, the elitism is extremely painful to the ears of people who really still love and care about the fabric of this country and others.
No, what it shows is the fact that we're all old men with very little memory of the fact of last year's show, and Patrice is the only one who's young enough to remember.
For now.
Yeah. No, I mean, whoever wins this and buys this, I mean, I think he could simply, I mean, Tim Cook could simply set this up and say, okay, you give me, I don't know, 600 grand, I will forward that to some charity and we sit down. And Tim Cook could do this all year. I don't think it would be necessary to do it this way.
Yeah.
What Ewan said, basically, I would laugh. I mean, the chances of me or one of us going to... The chances of one of us going to Tim would probably be slim because, I mean, it's, I don't know how many million, billion customers. But it would be cool.
Where were you at... 17:11 on Friday the 5th of May when Patrice said what Ewan said. Jesus Christ. last story, iPad sales are down a bit. And I've got to say, I'm quite surprised at this. I think that there's a real market for people to go into iPads who are buying computers that don't need them. And my mother is a great example. She wants a new iMac. And I've said, no, you don't. You want a 12-inch iPad that you can sit down and work with or you can sit on a desk with. You don't want a computer, Mum. An iPad will do you just fine. I'm surprised that iPad sales are down because I think iPad is possibly the alternative for an awful lot of people on the road.
It's been on decline mainly because people who have iPads have iPads. And the other thing, again, I think a lot of this is Apple being a victim of their own success. Once you have an iPad, like, what is the, why do you need a new one? You really don't. I mean, the iPad, it doesn't generally crash. It doesn't have issues. It's great. My mom, that's her only computer. And every once in a while, I get a call from her, but not like I would probably if she had a Mac, and certainly not when she had a PC for a really, really brief time because my brother talked her into it. But the problem is once you have an iPad, you really don't need to upgrade for a really long time. And plus,
it's my fault.
Released a new one in a while.
I never my iPad Air 2, I haven't bought anything since. So I take the blame for the sales decline.
It's all
they're great machines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is 8.92 million in sales as a 2 million sale drop from the year over year. It's still that iPad division is worth more than about 75% of the companies in the country. So it's a non-story, but it is a story. And
Hang on. The one thing I'll say is, you've got to be careful about talking about, well, okay, that's bigger than everyone else. If your supply chain is set up to deliver 14 million iPads and you only deliver 12, you operate at a loss.
Yes. Apple can afford to lose.
To compare to other pads is irrelevant. Absolutely. Yes. Utterly irrelevant.
Absolutely irrelevant. I agree. Yeah, so they picked up the money in some other divisions, though. And so what does that really say for the iPad? I think part of it is what Adam said. And the other part of it is the larger screen phones have definitely put a little bit of, I hate the cannibalism terminology, but I don't, with my 7 Plus, I definitely use my iPad less than I used to. Now I only use it as a drawing device, but I used to use it a lot as a larger screen for my old blind S. But now I don't have to do that because of the 7 Plus. You know what I'm saying? So agreed. I think there's a twofold thing. The iPad at this point kind of needs a rethink. How do we make it its own separate device?
Well, isn't that what the Pro was, though?
Originally.
The Pro was originally, yeah.
Because it was supposed to be what Adam said. A device for people who didn't really need a computer, but somehow that doesn't register with people yet because there's so many people in the tech press and the regular media who poo-poo that concept. So I think there's a problem there,
and it might actually be Apple's own fault, because I think that they have at least on the software side kind of abandoned it, or not focused on it enough to make it really good. I mean, for the last almost 2 years now, not much has changed software-wise, for example. And I think that's Apple's own fault. It could be so much better. Other competitors are showing that it is possible to do more. We'll see what Apple does. Maybe there's a reason for it. We don't know. I hate this argument, but it might be true. But it's Apple's own fault in the end.
The fix is coming, though. The file system will solve part of it, in theory. And it needs to have... I hate this. I shouldn't say that. Oh, I think... I don't want to say it needs to have, because I hate when people say that.
I hope you're not making a rumor, Doc.
No, I'm not making a rumor. That's why I say I hate to say it needs to have, because me sitting here in my basement saying what the multi-billion dollar company needs to do is a little bit self-aggrandizing, and I can't stand when bloggers do that. It doesn't need anything. What would be nice is if it had a slot for sort of removal media that sort of worked with that file system to make it easy to move things back and forth, or just, you know, store larger stuff and then take it offline when you don't need it. So the concept of a little bit more laptopping it and adding a file system, I think will go a long way into letting the iPad go back to being its own thing. So like part Surface-y maybe. I don't really like the Surface, but you know.
Doc wants it a bit more Windows.
The other thing to point out and remember here, when people like look at this and they go, why isn't Apple freaking out over this sort of stuff? And why does Tim Cook seem so calm and things like that, is while you had that drop in number in terms of units of iPads, the total revenue year to year drop was only, and I say this is funny to say only, it was only $500 million. Right. But for Apple, $500 million, that's almost nothing. And a big part of that is because they did do the iPad Pro, which has a higher selling price and they make more per unit. So at the end of the day, I think a lot of people forget for Apple, you know, it really is all about the revenue. And if revenues are flat or going up, that's less of a concern, I think, than if revenues are dropping. And we're not seeing revenue drops. And I think that's why you're seeing the stock price where it is. So, you know, we are not in a panic situation. Yes, iPad sales have been declining. The revenues aren't declining at the same kind of rate.
Yeah. It's absolutely strategic. I mean, they built an ecosystem where everyone wants multiple devices. If you're going to have a watch, you have to have a phone. If you're going to have a phone, you're probably already a Mac user. Chances are you have an iPad too. They can't keep adding devices and expect everybody to own them all. So it's better to put your focus into the things that have the highest profit margin and that's fine by me. Stay in business.
I think the best part of that chart is the purple other, because that's basically cables and dongles for those of us that have lost the stupid headphone thing 10 times.
And AirPods.
Just stop there, guys. Stop, Patrice, because I am Chuck Joyner's protector. He's been so polite. He doesn't interrupt anyone else, and he never gets to say a sodding thing, so it's Chuck's turn. Go on.
No, this just makes me crazy. And Doc, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but it makes me crazy when I see on the Windows side, you have a laptop with a detachable screen that then can be used as a tablet, and everybody says, oh, Eureka. And then you go to the iPad side and say, but here's a really great device, and you can add a keyboard to it. And everybody says, oh, remember what Steve said. You know, no, this is not what you would want to do. And it's like, it's the same thing. But one side gets praised for its innovation, the other side gets trashed because it's not true to the alleged original vision. And, you know, and Steve was well known for changing in midstream when he decided he wanted to or something. Well, I'm not going to say proved it wrong, but he shifted his thinking. But this seems just strikes me as so disingenuous. An iPad is an iPad. You can expand it with a keyboard. You can make it something of a laptop replacement if you want to, and guess what? You don't have to run Windows.
My only thing was the file system, brother. I agree with you 100% on what you said. I just meant a little bit a file system and a way to move storage, like a separate storage device. That was it. But yeah, that's coming. I agree with you. I hate that concept, even of adding keyboards and clicky stuff. I think it's unnecessary. I like the form factor as it sits.
Sure, but make it what you need. I mean, you know, this is it. Yeah. Everybody's putting artificial restrictions on all these devices. And make it what you need and then move on and get stuff done.
Yeah. Yep. Or transferring something that works on one platform to another and saying, okay, no, it has to work like Mac, or the other way around, the Mac has to work like iOS. It's the same thing. And I think it also speaks for Apple and for Tim Cook that they keep talking about the iPad. I mean, if Apple had abandoned it, if Apple had said, okay, this is not working, we don't care about the iPad anymore, then they would simply stop talking about it. I mean, when was the last time they really talked about the Mac Mini? I mean, other than the interview recently where someone asked them about the Mac Mini and they said, yeah, okay, it's part of our lineup, which was a non-answer. I mean, Apple keeps talking every quarter, almost every event. They keep talking about the iPad and that it is one of their key products and that they want to evolve it.
I mean, it's a fantastic product. The problem is that the one that you've got lasts far longer than it should. They haven't built it to obsolete at 3 years.
Yes.
And when they do, we clown him for that too.
So and we give him exactly. We give him a good kicking for it. So.
On the other hand, I mean, the Mac isn't built to obsolete in 3 years either. So that seems to be working.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting, actually, if you did an analysis of the obsolescence of the iPad versus the Mac and at what point it stops crapping out. I mean, my 2008 MacBook Pro, Ellis is still using up at the house to do his homework on. Yes, okay, he's going, oh, Dad, can I play Rise of Rome on it or something like that? And you're like, no, you can't, because it's just not good enough for that anymore. But it still runs Pages, it still runs Numbers, it still runs Keynote. It works perfectly fine. And it's 2008, it's nearly a 10-year-old Mac, and it's working perfectly.
And the only issue you have is, can the security patches be kept up to date? Unless you're going to run it standalone.
It runs on a network where if someone got into it, they'd find pictures of Ellis taking a picture of his own willy, maybe. I don't know. You know, and I hope I hope that's not true. But, you know, he's 13 years old and it's that kind of time of life, you know. So. This podcast and all the others is actually about the Bash. Are you coming to the Bash, Patrice?
Yes, I haven't booked my tickets yet, but I'm going to do that on the weekend.
Right, well, so you need to book tickets. But if you are listening to this and you want to come to the bash, then you need to book your tickets, because if you don't book enough tickets, then we will cancel it, because the venue only really works for us if we have enough people coming. So if you're coming to the bash, now is the time to get your tickets. BritishTechNetwork.com/bash tickets, and you can buy them. It's 20 quid for adults and five quid for kids. I'm sorry we've charged for the kids, but the little gits ate all the sodding food last year. So based on the fact that they're eating all the food and the head count goes up because of them, we get charged £8.95 per head for food. So it's a token gesture, I agree, but please accept the fact that we need to charge for the kids. Up to 16 it's £5, over 16 it's £20, because they get classed as adults then. And based on what Ellis eats, he eats as much as any adult does. So.
And it's the bash 2017, not 16.
No, I've put the 2016 up because I'm going to insert at this very point in the video, I'm going to put in the video from the bash. Nice. If you'd like to go and see it, it's the bash video for 2016 is absolutely brilliant. All the fun that we had, the Hungry Hippos thing, the balloon challenge, the card cutting championships, it's all going to happen again this year. It's going to be absolutely stunning. Book your tickets this month. On the 1st of June, if there is not enough people booked, I will cancel the event, I'm afraid. And if you book flights and hotels and all that kind of stuff, I'm sorry, but you're going to lose out. Well, you're not, but we'll suss out something. But please get it booked, because getting ahead with bookings is what makes all the difference to the bash. We do need you to book. Please get it done. UK2 support us as well. We love them to bits. Please support them if you possibly can. And of course, Hoya, they are a brilliant supporter of BTN. They gave us one of the Macs that supports the Skype wall. Unique is coming. It's going to take a while. It's in production. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, we should get a video out about how Unique is working, and you should see it in action. And also, don't forget the Fancy Photo League. It's still running. This month's topic for May is Edge. The season images that have come in are absolutely brilliant. The improvement in the standard photography is absolutely massive. Well done to those people that are taking part. If you want to join us, BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, and you can submit an image for Edge as a topic, and we will let you in, and you can have loads and loads of fun. And I've got to say, Adam and Patrice are both in the competition. Are you enjoying it, boys?
Absolutely, yeah.
We've got some great people in there.
Learning a lot, and the only complaint I have is that people are getting way too good.
There is.
I have to step up my game every month. I've only been doing it for 2 months, and just from last month to this month, it was like the improvement in images was like, it was exponential.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was. If you look at January compared to now, the difference is oceans, absolutely oceans from where it was. Thank you all the people that support and help BTN, and that includes all of the listeners who send via Patreon. We do really appreciate it. It makes a massive difference to us. Please support our companies that sponsor us. Right, time for the cool thing. Doc, start us off.
Okay, so the first one, I got to say, Adam, damn you. Carrot, freaking log your food, carrot, whatever the heck you said last week. That thing is so good, but it's so driving me crazy. I love it, but it's pretty funny. So thank you, Adam, for that crazy pick. But it's pretty awesome. What was it called? I forgot. Carrot.
Hello again.
This thing. What was it called?
Carrot. Weather.
I've got that. No.
It's the food, the calorie counting one.
Oh, right.
It's freaking hilarious, but I love it. It's a really, really.
Is it the
really
same cool people as Carrot Weather?
Yeah.
So
they have two new ones.
What I recommended was they have a weight loss, you know, like a weigh-in app with a workout they call 7 Minutes in Hell. And that you can get for your Apple TV too, so it works great there if you want to sit in front of the TV and do your exercise. It's called Carrot Hunger. It's for counting calories. You know, it's got a food scanner, and
is it insulting? Because my perception, you are a fat bastard. Don't poke me in the arcus again.
Yeah,
you fat
bastard. That's the one. It's super fun.
My watch abuses me every morning and says it's time to get your fat but on the scale.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like, okay, meat bag, don't forget, you know, you got to this. And then it says, hey, are you skipping breakfast? Like, it's really, really, really good. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for that. My pick this week, strange enough, is a podcast. And I don't know how I missed it. I just recently discovered it. Excuse me?
it's not us. Right, okay, sorry. Go on.
I don't want to scare people, dude. Anyway, if you go into your podcast app, look for a podcast called Invisibilia.
Yeah.
It's made by a lady. I want to call her name is Hannah Rosen and Alex, like A-L-I-X, Alex. Forget her last name. Anyway, it's a really, really good NPR program, and Invisibilia is about the hidden thing that goes on in our brains. And like Brett, you know, I was a kid that was diagnosed as basically mental, but back in our day, we didn't have those diagnoses. We just were considered bad, so we just got beat by the nuns. So it's kind of, I've always, ever since, you know, I got old enough to realize that it was nothing wrong with me. I just think differently. It's always been into brain stuff, you know, so Hidden Brain and Invisibilia are two great brain podcasts on NPR, but Invisibilia is relatively new, and I absolutely love it. It's great. So you should check it out.
Thank you, mate. Good one. Links in the chat room if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 5th of May. You will see all of the stuff that we've put in. Adam, next.
Yeah. I'm going to pick one. I don't know, because it kind of ties into some of the stuff we talked about today with using old Macs. And I may have picked this in the past, but I'm going to pick it again because it's just awesome. And I don't think it ever gets enough exposure. And it's a backup utility called ChronoSync that I use and rely on as sort of my third tier. You know, we talk a lot about backup and people know Time Machine and they usually know like Super Duper Carbon Copy Cloner. What I love about ChronoSync is it's all about just syncing two volumes or two directories. You can use it to do a full backup. The main way that I use it is I have a bunch of specific folders and locations and things like my music library, you know, my iTunes library, my photo library, all of my work that I do in terms of web development. Those are all in a single folder. And I use this to back up to that kind of stuff to or sync it to a Drobo that I have connected to a 2006 Mac Mini that sits on my network. And that thing, I do have the problem check where it's you know, locked at OS 10.6, whatever that was. I'm trying to remember the cap that went along with that, Mountain Lion maybe. And I can't upgrade it anymore, but it works great. And ChronoSync runs on there. They have a companion product if you're running over a network called Chrono Agent that runs on there, and that lets me kind of set that up as a backup location for my ChronoSync schedulers. And what's great about ChronoSync is you can schedule this stuff. It has all kinds of advanced features. One of my favorites is for my iTunes library. I have it set up so it syncs the backup, but anything that gets deleted locally doesn't get deleted from the backup that's on the Drobo. So like I have every version of every, you know, app that I ever downloaded to iTunes. And where that comes in handy is occasionally a developer will put out an update and there's a bug, right? And Apple has this like slow cycle of sometimes they can't get the fix out for a couple days or a week. So I can easily go back and even though my iTunes updated, I can roll back from the ChronoSync thing. You know, it's just really handy to have. It's a nice extra layer of backup. Or again, you can use it as a full backup. Another way that I know a lot of people use it is sometimes people will have two machines and they want to sync the home, you know, user folder. And it has functionality for doing that sort of thing. It's just an incredible handy tool. And the other one advantage I'll point out is if you are a Set app customer, because I know we've talked about Set app before, ChronoSync Express, which is kind of a lighter version of ChronoSync, is available in there. So you may have access to ChronoSync already if you want to just try it out.
Nice.
I'm going to second that because ChronoSync I have used now for as long as I can remember that I've had a Mac. And the beauty of it is I paid for it once because all of the upgrades that you get are for life. Never pay any more for ChronoSync. You get the latest version every single time, and it's a one-time fee, and that's the end of it. You get Chrono Agent, which is free, which you can put onto remote Macs. That makes it far easier to connect, and it works with NAS drives as well as. And I am lost without ChronoSync because it syncs deletions, as Adam says, if you really want it to. Totally worth the money. It's right up there with it's one of the essential pieces of Mac software that you must have if you've got a Mac. Totally.
Yeah, I love it. You don't hear about it enough.
No, you don't.
It's a great app.
Absolutely right. Yep. Good pick. Great pick, in fact. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
I don't know about you all. I have entirely too many Bluetooth speakers hanging around the house. I like having them, and, you know, that's all I can say. I like having them for various uses. Some are really cheap, because you really don't need a great speaker to listen to podcasts, but when you want music, you want something a little bit nicer. I just got this. This is the JBL Pulse 2 splash-proof speaker. I'll power it up here for you so you can see it. But this has to be the best-sounding Bluetooth speaker that I have ever heard. As far as, you know, without spending a ridiculous amount of money. And there are a whole lot of them out there, but this one is the one that right now is getting my vote. And of course, it's got the cool little lights that light up, which is not my favorite feature, but that's okay.
You got that from NAB, didn't you?
Pardon me?
You got that from NAB, didn't you?
No.
Oh,
no,
really?
I just got this. I bought this too, because I've done some comparisons, and I don't want to, you know, denigrate anybody else's choices and products, but this is the best one. If there's one thing wrong with it, and that I don't consider it wrong, it does have some heft to it. There's no question about it. So if you're going to stick this in your backpack, it is going to weigh it down a little bit. But if you really want and need that power and that great sound outdoors in your backyard or whatever, and enough to maybe disturb the neighbors a bit, this is the one I think you want to get. $149 right now on Amazon. It seems to be pretty solid.
It's,
as far as, you know, dropping or anything.
It's obviously, based on the way you're throwing it around there, it's obviously a rechargeable unit.
Yes.
So what's the playtime like?
You and I haven't had it long enough to really test it. I think they advertised it as like 14 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours. I want to do some tests on that to find out. But, you know, it's got enough bass that, you know, you don't think, gee, I wish this had more bass. It's not going to be like your subwoofer in your living room, but, you know, it's a good deal. So
long enough for your pool party.
Definitely. And you don't have to worry about it getting water splashed on.
With the Senate around, where you're going to take the pictures that are going to mean that you're going to get his Senate seat, which then gets you into the presidential race.
Yeah.
The Pulse 1 was my favorite speaker.
The
Pulse 2 is better. I'm in.
I've heard great things about the Pulse 1. I did not have a Pulse 1, so I can't tell you, although I do know people that have had both, and they say the Pulse 2 is indeed better. So, for what it's worth.
It must be good. Bronwyn said, seeing as you've got too many Bluetooth speakers, Chuck, could you send her one?
I'll see what I can do. Either that, or I'll just send you a link for a really good deal on one. How's that?
Bronwyn, send Chuck your home address and brace yourself.
Remember the Siri thing? I said it looked like a JBL speaker. This is what I was talking about. I didn't remember the name of it, but that's it.
Pulse You're 2. Right. It does. At least it looks like the mock-up.
I think Jeff Gamet recommended that on The Big Show a little while ago.
Dave Hamilton's favorite Bluetooth speaker.
So
well.
There you go. There's the big three. The Chuck, the Dave, the Gamet. That's like
I got top billing.
That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of recommendations right there. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Well, first of all, I have a quick recommendation, a YouTube channel. If you're interested in electric cars and you enjoy watching daily vlogs of a family somewhere in the UK, somewhere in the middle of the country, I couldn't figure out where exactly this guy lives, but it's fun. I've put the link in the chat room. The guy is called James Cook, and he's doing a daily vlog with his family. He's a stay-at-home dad. His wife is working, I don't know for what company, but must be something that pays well. He's driving a Tesla, and he talks about electric cars while filming his daily life. So this is really interesting. And I've been watching it for months now, every single day, and it's really great. My cool thing is an app that I probably have picked somewhere in the past, but as people didn't seem to remember in the Slack room, I wanted to pick it again, and that is Folding Text. It's a really, really great markdown editor. I think it also does task paper and some other stuff, but I use it as my go-to markdown editor. It's probably one of the best editors I've ever used, and I keep on using. It's not cheap, at least not, I mean, compared to others. But I think it's $30 US or 28 or 29 pound. So it's simply, it's very, very simple. It's straightforward to use, but it's good, it's fast. And as I said, it's the best one I've ever used, and I use it for business and for my private stuff. So best app ever, I would always say.
Excellent.
Mac only, right?
Mac only, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if he's still doing it by himself, but Jesse Grosjean must have nothing else to do in Maine but make really great apps that do stuff. And he has like 5 or 6 apps and another one that he's working on. And I don't know how he's so prolific as a dude by himself. He's like the Padawan to Brett.
Did you ever hear him on Systematic? Did you ever hear the two of us talk for an hour?
Other shows.
Yeah, he's amazing.
His stuff is amazing.
Cool. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Last but by no means least, Brett, do you have a cool thing for us?
It's cool. I don't know if it's awesome yet, but I just got the Pixie, which is, I loved my Tile. I still love the Tile, but then I saw this and I wanted to try it because it works like the Tile for locating things, but it actually gives you like a ranged finder. You get a augmented reality view that'll show you like a little glow where it sees your device or whatever you're trying to track. And then as you get closer to it, it turns into kind of like a metal detector thing that'll like beep faster and faster as you get within up to an inch of accuracy. Thus far, it's been pretty good finding things through walls and kind of leading me to them with turn-by-turn directions on other floors, which my Tile hasn't been great for. So I'm hoping, but then there have been times when it's been completely inaccurate, and I'm still trying to work out fine-tuning on that setup.
Cool.
That's cool. They're much cheaper.
Could be.
And I don't know yet. At first, I thought they were passive and would last forever, but they do actually run on a lithium battery. I don't know what the life's going to be yet. The Tile, basically, I'm told you get about a year, and then you have to buy a whole new Tile. These may be the same.
Can you replace the battery, Brad?
I don't think so. I have not found any information about it, although it does seem to be a standard battery if you could pull it apart without destroying anything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Getpixie.com if you want to get hold of that. There you go. Good, cool things, chaps. Where can we get a hold of you? Doc?
Where's your cool thing? You trying to skip it?
No, because when there's 5 people on, I don't tend to do mine because it's
because bastard. You can't come up with one, right?
Okay. Mine is Planner 5D then, which is available on Mac App Store. It's a tenner. I don't know. It's worth a tenner, and it's got some serious simple flaws. But actually, we've used it this week for replanning the office, and it's really, really good. So there you go, Planner 5D.
All right, there we go.
Where can we get hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over this interwebs at DOCROCK, and then on this lovely network, the British Tech Network, right here.
Thanks, man. Matt Kest, where are you?
You can find me at MattKest.com, MattKest on Twitter, and pretty much every place else, and weekly on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, boy. Where are you, Patrice?
Every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Chuck.
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything I do, and occasionally I show up here whenever Ewan invites me.
Good NAB coverage this week, mate. I really enjoyed that.
I'm glad. Thank you. More coming.
I'm glad watching your coverage because it saves me a frigging fortune. Because I wasn't there buying everything I saw.
I'm donated to the presidential campaign.
Oh, I'd come back third round lighter. And last but by no means least, Brett, where are you, mate?
BrettTerpstra.com, TT Scuff everywhere, and you can find both of my podcasts at ESN.FM.
Excellent, mate. Brilliant. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back next Friday with the Max Show at 4 p.m. and the Big Show at 8 p.m. as normal. It's been a great week. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.